years how our calendar has revolved around Sunday being the first day of the week. Now, there are some calendars that begin on Monday now, but for years, the calendars have revolved around Sunday being the first day of the week. What is so special about Sunday? You know, as we thought about in the Old Testament, you'd often think the special day of the week, the Sabbath. And they celebrated the Sabbath because on the seventh day, the day after the sixth day of creation, God what? He rested. And it was an illustration. But here we're reminded in the New Testament, we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, because He is alive. Today is a special day that we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It is something we celebrate every week, but today there is something special, a time of the year that we set aside to remember all that Jesus Christ has done for me. Aren't you thankful He died for you and that He rose again for your sins? Stop for a second and think back to the time when that truth just finally clicked. I was 4.5 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents taught me the truth of the gospel. As we're reminded in Sunday school, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't remember a time not knowing the truth, but it had to come to a point in my life when I acknowledged that that was for me. And I understood that my sin condemned me to hell. It may not have been some heinous crime, but the Bible teaches, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that my sin, even as a 4-year-old, was enough to condemn me to hell. Yet Jesus Christ died on the cross because of Josh Swearinga. He suffered and He died and He was buried as a dead man, not just as an unconscious man. He was buried. And He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That third day is the first day of the week, Sunday. As we gather around our text here this morning, I want us to remember that we can, if you will, glow because of resurrection. Not like a lightning bug, not like a glow-in-the-dark sticker, but we can glow. Sometimes when you look at someone, they just have a certain glow about them. There's the joy of Christ that just flows through them. This morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to remember that even as we go through this week, that others would see the reality of the resurrection in and through our lives. And that we can worship Him. But that's what others can see. We gather together as a body of believers so that we can worship. We've worshiped through singing of music. We've worshiped through opportunity to give back to the Lord. We've worshiped it through listening to special music, whether it's the piano and the offertory or whether it's the special that Kim just sang. We worship as the Word of God is presented and we respond to His Word. Worship the risen Savior. As we go throughout this week, I want us to glow because Christ has made a difference in our lives. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. I thank You for this opportunity that we have to gather around Your Word. God, I pray that You would speak to us in a way that only You can. That God, You would make a difference in and through our lives this morning and this week. But that God, as we're reminded of this truth this morning, that indeed our hearts would be drawn to worship You. And if there's some in here who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, oh God, I pray that You would convict their hearts. I pray that You would help them to see the truth about Easter. The truth about Resurrection Sunday. We thank You for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke 22 this morning, we saw that Jesus loved us. And He loved His disciples as they were eating that last Passover. We saw as we read through Luke 23 throughout this morning, His great love in going to the cross, not fighting over it, not trying to get out of it. He was God. He had the power to get out of it. But he knew that I needed a Savior and that there was no other option. And he loved me. He knew that it would end even in his resurrection from the dead. We're reminded throughout the New Testament multiple passages of his resurrection. But here in Luke 24, we're reminded of it specifically as we look at some people's lives as they experienced it firsthand, the resurrection of our Savior. Imagine being there the day they crucified him, what we often celebrate as Good Friday. And they're there watching what they're doing to Jesus, putting those nails into his hands, into his feet, hanging him on the cross, watching as his body gets limp and yet he struggles for breath to pull himself back up against the weight of the nails and his body pulling against that. They were there as they watched him die. They were there as people walked away and they were solemnly watching. They were there when Joseph of Arimathea, after having begged the body of Jesus to go give him a proper burial, to honor him in his death, took him. They followed him. Verse 55 of chapter 23, the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. They watched this process. They watched Joseph and whoever else it was bring him in to the tomb and lay him. They knew he was dead. They watched how Pilate and his soldiers made sure he was dead. They watched. They knew where Jesus was laid. Verse 56, they returned. They went home, they went to their place, and they didn't just cry and mourn, yet they wanted to honor Jesus. Verse 56, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day. And what does that next part of that verse say? According to the commandment. Yes, we're in the New Testament. Matthew, in our Bible, Matthew begins the New Testament. But before Jesus Christ died, they were under the Old Testament law yet. In fact, when Jesus Christ died, we read it this morning, that the veil in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. So here they're going back and resting on the Sabbath. What did the Jews do on the Sabbath? They worshipped. And here they are. They had prepared spices and ointments to honor the body of Jesus, who, by the way, they believed was the Son of God. He was. He taught who he was. And in faith, they believed and acknowledged that. And here, even after he was dead, they were involved in honoring his body. They didn't just go run and hide. But here they are, they're resting on the Sabbath. And they get up early, the first day of the week. Why is it that sometimes we have maybe an early morning service? This morning we had an 8 o'clock service. That's early to get to church, isn't it? Man, and if you've got kids at your house like I do, man, that's a lot of work to get kids at church at 8 o'clock. Why? Just because that's what we do. I think it's something special that we can remember here even. They got up early. Why? To honor Jesus. And here as we got up and we celebrated here this morning, we sang some songs and we looked at the scripture in Luke 22. And we participated in what we call the Lord's table. Not to earn any way to heaven. Not to try to pay some debt because we've got to do this. It's not just some ritual. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And it was an opportunity for us to remember the death and burial, the suffering of our Savior. Well, these ladies, they had remembered that. They were right there. And here on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. and certain others. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout. Why were they perplexed? What was bothering them? Was it because they couldn't remember what tomb it was? Was it because they couldn't remember where Jesus was placed and how he was placed? And maybe we just looked at something wrong. No, they knew they were there. What is going on? In order for you and I to glow, and it's not always easy to glow in difficult times of our life, but here these women are going through some hard struggles. By the way, it wasn't just these women, was it? Man, we think of the apostles or the disciples who they fled, they ran. Now they're up in an upper room waiting. What's going on? Where they, man, are they going to come after us and kill us? And fear's going on in their hearts. During this tough time of life, they could glow. Well, number one, we see the G. They go through the right motions. And as you and I go through life, we can go through the right motions. What were the right motions? Well, these ladies, they went to the right place. And in order for us to glow during difficult times of our life, we need to go to the right place. Where Jesus is. They went to find the body of Jesus. They thought that's what they'd find. See, they had been with Jesus. They watched him as he ministered during his adult life here on earth. They believed this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ. The word Christ literally means the Messiah of Hebrew. They believed this was him. So when they went through the right motions, they went to the right place. For them, it was where he was, the tomb. At least that's what they thought. And as you and I go through life, there are times we just need to set aside and go to the right place. We take time for that. In fact, we have regularly scheduled services. Opportunities for us to go meet with Jesus. Now, does Jesus live here? In the Old Testament, they would go and they would worship at the temple. And remember, when Jesus died, that veil was torn in two. Because you and I have direct access to God, we don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through someone else because the Bible says Jesus Christ is our mediator. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, 100% God, 100% man. Jesus is that mediator. In order for us to glow when life gets tough, I must go to the right place. I must go to Jesus. We gather together as a church family here. And there are other times we gather together. I mean, we have scheduled services, but this morning we had a scheduled service and other opportunities that we have to gather together. God's people can encourage us. Notice they didn't go alone. It wasn't just one lady. They were together and with others to honor Jesus, even in his death. We think about funerals. Funerals are a difficult time. You remember a funeral and maybe someone close to you. And we mourn the loss of that person. But as we gather together, I think of the many funerals we've had here in this sanctuary area. We gather together to worship the Lord, but to honor that person and their life, to celebrate their life. Especially one who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. What a celebration because they have their home in heaven. But when we come to a funeral, many times there's a small group that goes off to the cemetery afterwards. And as we go to the cemetery, we say our final goodbyes to the body. And we have markers at the cemetery. Some of you go and you remember the many good memories that you've had. But Jesus didn't need a final marker. These women went in his death to honor his body. But when they got there to do it, he wasn't there. And as we go through tough times of life, we go to where Jesus is. Well, we know him through his word. Do you spend time with him in his word? In John chapter 1, Jesus is called the Word. We call him the Living Word. But we refer to the Bible as the written word of God. Do you go to Him through His word? Taking His strength, knowing Him. In that personal, intimate way, these women went to Him. But as we go to church, as we go to the Word of God, it's not just out of duty because it's Sunday again. It's not just that I open up the Bible because it's morning and I have to do it. It's not just that it's an obligation. We go to the right place and we go with the right motivation, the right reasons. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Why did they go? To honor His body. When they took Jesus off the cross, they brought Him to the tomb. He was brought to the tomb, but there wasn't much time before they needed to leave and rest on the Sabbath. We think of the embalming process. Without embalming, the body rots, returns to dust. God has made us of the dust of the earth. Pastor Bill, as he works with funeral home and people, and there's that process of embalming. Well, here they go with these spices to help with some of that and the smells. Remember when Lazarus died? They don't call him in. Don't roll away that stone. It's going to stink. He stinks, Lord, they said. The reality here, they went. Remember, what day is this? This is the third day. His body would stink if it was dead. But they went to honor His body. But they went for the right reasons. It wasn't about them. It wasn't so people could see them. Watch us. We went to the tomb. In fact, it wasn't a popular thing to go to the tomb, was it? The popular thing was to shout, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" But they went to the tomb because He was crucified. Sometimes we go to church because it's the popular thing. Man, what will someone think if I don't go? That should never be our motivation for going. Or, man, I've got to have my outfit just right because what will they think if this is out of place or my hair is just wrong or whatever it may be? The reality is we go for the right reasons. It's about meeting Jesus. And they went here to worship Him, to honor Him. And as you and I go through difficult seasons and times of life, if we are going to glow and have the glow of Christ show through us, we must go to where He is, meeting Him in His Word, gathering together in a local church. It is a principle taught throughout the Word of God. Going through the right motions, even when we don't always feel like it. Was it in their feelings to just get up and go do what, man, here's this one we've been following and he's dead and there are others who didn't go? Sometimes we just have to do right because we know it's the right thing to do. You ever had to do right when you didn't feel like it? Here they're doing right. They're going through the right motions. They had the right reasons behind it. And that's what we must do. Maybe you don't feel like going to church sometime. In fact, there's probably times that all of us don't feel like going to church. As a pastor, there are times in my life that I don't feel like going to church. But we go through the right motions and let God change our heart in the process of that. And then we listen to the right words. That's what these ladies did here. They listened to the right words. They were perplexed, verse 4. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." And what's that next word? Remember? You were told He would. I find it interesting as they listened to the right words. They listened to the right messengers. They could have listened to other people. Don't go to the tomb. In fact, there were soldiers who were guarding it. And man, there was a guard out to make sure no one would steal this body of this man. They didn't need that guard. They sealed the tomb. They could have listened to others who were too afraid to go. Man, we don't want to go. What will people think? Remember, it was everybody who said, crucify him. How can we go? Well, they listened to the right messengers then as they were there. They listened to these angels. It's interesting that their immediate emotion was fear. Fear. Verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they saw these angels and, man, what's going on? We see many times throughout the Word of God that an angel actually brought about fear. But one of the first words the angels often would say is, fear not. We think of that when Jesus Christ was prophesied to come, whether it was to Joseph or Mary, whether it's his coming was announced to the shepherds, fear thou not. For behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We see they listen to these messengers. Who are messengers that God wants us to listen to? People giving the message of God. Pastor, teachers, parents. Others that God puts in our lives to teach us and lead us into godliness. It's not always fun to listen to them. We don't always like what we hear. But we need these things. We've been challenged even as we've looked at the book of 1 Corinthians and the need for preaching. The preaching of the cross is foolishness, but God uses preaching. Listening to the messengers. And if as we're to glow with the joy of Jesus as we go through life, I need to listen to the right messengers. One of the things I know that I need is I need good preaching. Because I don't get to hear it when you do. Hopefully it's good when you hear it. But the reality is, I need it just as much. I need to listen to it throughout the week. And I'm thankful for the messengers God has put in my life. Mentors that I've built relationships with, that I'm able to download their messages and listen to them. We need to listen to the messengers of God. Because it's God that changes us through those, not just the messengers, the right messengers, but the right message. It's all about the truth of God's Word. And that's the truth that changes life. He is not here, for He is risen. That's the truth of God's Word. That changes everything. That changes why I can even go through life. If it was simply that Jesus was a good man and he taught a lot of good things and then he died and he didn't rise again, could he be my Savior? The Bible wouldn't be true because it prophesied his resurrection. But he is alive. And as I listen to that message, it changes my life. It changes my thought process. These women who they were grieving and they were going to honor the body of the Lord. Then the emotion that they experienced wasn't just grief, it turned to fear. What's going on? Fear to confusion and everything going on in their hearts and emotions. But they listened to the messengers who presented the right message. And you and I need the message of the Word of God to change our lives. That's why we gather together. That's why, as important as music is, and I encourage you to sing as we have congregational singing, that's why as important as music is, it's not just the only thing we need. A 5-minute filler at the end of the service, we have some preaching or a sermonette. The reality is we need the message of God because that's what changes our lives. And that's what was changing these women's lives and the disciples' lives and the over 500 who saw our risen Lord and so many other lives over the centuries and the years. Listen to the right words, the right messengers. So we've got to go through the motions. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Go into where Jesus is. Where will we meet with Him? Then listening to what we hear, those messengers, the Sunday school teacher that you have, the Word of God as it's presented to you, because God's Word teaches us. But then these ladies, as they were going to glow with the joy of Jesus and show through this time the risen Savior, they then had to obey the right commands. And that's what you and I have to do as we go through life. It's not just enough for us to go where Jesus is. We gather together. Sometimes we sing that song, we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. And we gather together and worship and pray and listen to the Word, and then we go our own separate way. It's not enough for us to just go through the right motions and then listen to the right message. But I've got to obey the right commands, which are the commands of God through His Word. And here specifically, notice what they did in verse 56 of chapter 23. They rested on the Sabbath day. Why? It was a command of God. And so here they're honoring the Sabbath and they're resting. Well, now they come to the first day of the week, and they're going through all these emotions, grief, confusion, fear. And then the angel speaks. The angels speak. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. One of the important things about God's Word is we build it upon it throughout our lifetime. How many of you, as you get older, maybe you were in church as a kid and you're like, man, I know I heard that Bible story, but I don't remember that part of it. I mean, how many times has that happened in my life? Truth of God's Word builds upon it in our lives. I've never heard that before. Well, I have. Maybe you read something in the Word of God and you know you've read through that passage before. It's like, I've never seen that before. Well, the reality is it builds upon it. And then we obey. God speaks to us and we obey His Word. And there are sometimes God challenges us and speaks in a specific way with one sin, and that's what we're dealing with. And man, God gives us victory. And the same passage He speaks about another sin. It's like, what is, wow. I was struggling with that before, but I didn't see it. Well, it's one thing at a time. Often. Sometimes it's just so much. We realize, God, change me. But the reality is we change. We must obey the Word as it's presented. Obey that message, that commandment that we've been given through His Word. One of the things they were told to do is to tell what they heard. You've heard the Word of God, now go tell it. You've heard Jesus is alive. Go share the good news. See, they remembered His words, verse 8, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these to the 11 and to all the rest. So they told. Other passages of Scripture, some of the other Gospels, we see more in depth of this time period in their lives. But they told the disciples. Notice it says 11. What happened with Judas? What did he do? He went out and he hanged himself. Realized what he had done. Well, they went and they told the 11. These 11, these disciples, were struggling with their own emotions. How can they glow with joy when, man, our Savior is dead? Well, they went and told him, He's alive. We've seen the place where He's laid and He isn't there. Now, who knew where He was laid? They did. They followed. And here they're challenging, they're sharing this truth of what they've heard. And as you and I go throughout this week, you've heard the truth. Many of us in here know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's go then with this truth and share the good news with others. Maybe it's others who are saved and maybe they couldn't be here. Maybe they were at their own church and they worshiped. What an opportunity to worship throughout today. The greatness of the resurrection. And sharing that with others. Throughout this week, what Resurrection Sunday or what Easter Sunday means to you and why? Not just because it brings some feeling in your heart, but the truth of the message of what it's all about. Tell what you've heard. Tell who they can meet. Who is it that the disciples were to go meet? Jesus. He would go before you into Galilee. It was they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. It's okay to tell the truth of the gospel even when other people won't believe you. Many times when we share the gospel, people don't believe us. Maybe you've handed out a gospel tract to someone, and as you turn to leave, you already saw them throw it out. It's not up to you how they accept or reject the truth of God's word. It's, are you and I going to obey and tell? Life is about Christ. Jesus said after he was risen and he spoke with them, Matthew 28, "Go ye into all the world and teach." And that's an opportunity and a responsibility that you and I must make personally. To obey the right commands. To go through the right motions, even if I don't feel like emotions are struggling. To listen to the right words because it's God's word that changes my life. To obey the right commands, the commands of God's word. Someone else tells me, I think of the time in Job's life when he was struggling. A command, if you will, from his wife was to what? Curse God and die. But he said, how can I receive good from God and not evil too? The reality is I can worship God even in difficult times of life. I obey God's commands, not other people's commands. Go do this, go do that. What does God's word say? And finally, I worship the risen Lord. That's why we're gathered together here this morning, is to worship Him. We can worship Christ because He is alive. It's such an opportunity that we have. Not that we've made up. Not just another excuse for people to go to church. But it's an opportunity to worship Him individually. Here are these women. It names specific women by name. And then, of course, others with them. But they were, individually, they had to determine they were going to go. Sometimes it helps when there's that positive peer pressure. We think of getting together, gathering together at church. Sometimes I go through the motions because if I'm not there, I know someone's going to call me. If I don't show up, I know what they're going to think. But the reality is there's positive peer pressure sometimes. But it's an individual choice yet. And they had to make that choice individually to worship, to honor the Savior. But it wasn't just them. Look at verse 12. It was Peter's choice as well. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. Here they're talking and walking, and who do they meet? Jesus! Yet their eyes were blinded. They believed in Him, but man, He was dead, and oh, they're just mourning His loss. Verse 17, Jesus said, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" They're going through these emotions. How can I glow with the joy of Christ in difficult times of life? It's going through the right motions. It's listening to the right words. It's obeying the commands of God. And it's worshiping the risen Lord. Here they're telling Him what's going on. Verse 19, He said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. We thought it was the Messiah. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. He said He'd be alive. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. Man, they were there, they said He was alive, but man, we're just sad. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart. Can you imagine? You're walking with Jesus, distraught because he was the Messiah. He's dead. They said he's alive. He prophesied he'd come back to life. They said he's alive, but man, our hearts are discouraged. Then Jesus says, oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Reminds me of when Jesus was there with the Passover and he broke the bread and said, this is my body. This symbolizes my body that is broken for you. Here he's sitting down and he broke bread and gave God thanks for it. And all of a sudden, this is Jesus. And he's gone. Remember, they said, come in, it's nighttime. The day is far spent. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be still. Peace be unto you rather. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written. Listen to the message of God's word. As God teaches us. Friends, he is alive. That's why we're here. And as we go through difficult times of life, we can glow with the joy of Jesus. Because it's all about him. We can go to meet him. We can listen to his word. We can obey his commands. And we can worship not a dead Savior, a risen Savior. It's all about him. Oh, what a Savior. The end of chapter 24, verse 53, actually verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. How do I glow with the joy of Jesus through life? I remember Easter. I remember Resurrection Sunday. And if I struggle to think about Easter when it's October, I can remember that I'm going to worship on Sunday and it's resurrection. It's what we do because of the resurrection of Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Going through those motions when I just am confused inside and letting God work in my heart as I listen to the message and choose to obey, because then I can worship God indeed. That's the Savior we serve. The one who died, was buried, and rose again for me, for you. And this week, we can worship him. Has he made that difference in your life? If you don't know Jesus as Savior, friend, he died for you. He died to forgive your sin. If you do know Jesus as Savior, Are you worshiping Him? Are you living with His joy? Are you glowing with the joy of Jesus? Or are you just overwhelmed with your own feelings? Let's go back to Christ. He can change even our confused, our grief, our fear, and cause us to worship Him. Father, we thank You for Your love. God, would You help us to worship You, to see You in a fresh and in a new way from Your Word.